So at this segment, it was called Kairongoa, and Naranoa, what are you bringing for us today?
Well, I thought it was very timely that I give some attention to what I call broadly in terms of our mental health. I don't want to coach it as being exclusive to that. However, it's to acknowledge our history, a piece of history that is not so well known, but happens to have fall on the same day as Guy Fawkes,
right,
the 5th of November. And that significant event I realised this year, when it wasn't, collectively acknowledged or shared amongst my own extended family and friends, I was sad and realised that there was a lot of work that had to be done on us as the grandchildren, the mokopuna, as they are being brought up on this land, Aotearoa, that they have some of the stories of the history from this land. And the 5th of November, of course, is what people know as Guy Fawkes, and there certainly was quite a display. Where did they get them all from?
I was wondering the bonfires,
not the bonfires, but where did they get all the crackers from?
I don't know, because it actually was a really quiet Guy Fawkes, and I didn't even realise it was coming up until the actual day of it, and I read the date, and I was like, oh, that's Guy Fawkes today. But then, yeah, I don't know where they got them from. Maybe they kept them from last year. Maybe they could order them online. I don't know.
Well, there was some acknowledgement, of course, of that event. And I don't really want to talk about that Guy Fawkes, but I want to share a children's story that was written by one of our wonderful children story writers, authors, Jennifer Beck, whom I met while she was writing this story. I was living in Howick at the time, and she'd written what seemed like a very short story, but it had such a powerful message behind it, and it was part of a contribution that she was making to an anthology of peace stories from around the world. And so the story is by Jennifer, and the illustrations are outstanding, Lindy Fisher. So it had a duality for me, and you know, I have a love of children's stories. So it really resonated with me, and I felt that in those few words, you know, it was 100 and something, I can't remember, it had to be less than 125 words.
That's almost, you know, that's almost the amount of words I have for doing a 30-second radio ad. That's how short that is.
Or maybe it's a few more.
Yeah.
And I'd really like to share that this morning.
So what is the story about?
Oh, the story is about the invasion of Parihaka. And as people may not, or a lot of my friends know, but, you know, I'll tell a little story here, and we might not get to this actual story, is I was living in India in a place called, staying in West Bengal in Shantiniketan. And honestly, the Indian people there, the indigenous people, came up to me. They said, "You are from New Zealand? Well, we know all about Parihaka." I said, "Pardon?" They said, "Parihaka, peaceful resistance. Gandhi told us, he told us everything."
Yeah.
I said, "Pardon?" I had no consciousness about Parihaka at that time. And there they were saying how Gandhi had actually read the story of peaceful resistance. And he said, "We have proceeded to have independence in India." That is why he was so inspired. I went, "Really?" And I have thought, wow, they're actually telling me my own history.
Yeah.
And how he was actually very inspired by that, what took place on the Pa in Parihaka in 1881, that he engaged that process towards the independence of India, and that just blew me away.
Yeah, I remember when I learned that Gandhi learned from here, and Martin Luther King learned from Gandhi, but it all traced back to here, to Parihaka. It's astonishing, and everyone should know this history in Aotearoa. Everyone should learn it at school, shouldn't they?
Oh, you know, every one of our stories has a dark side and a light, dark and light, you know? But it has such a beautiful message of resilience, the way they followed their leaders. You know, there's lots of sadness in that history, but the resilience of their belief that peaceful, to remain peaceful, no guns, there was not going to be any killing on their maunga, on Parihaka's maunga, by the people of the pā. And that's what he insisted, and they sent the children out first.
So, Ngaronoa, I think, have you got your finger over the microphone a bit on the phone there? It's got a bit muffled.
Oh, yes, yeah.
There we go. You're back. We could hear it, but it wasn't as good as... I'm very strict about the sound quality, aren't I?
Yes, no, that's really important. I'm in training. Shall I read? Is that okay?
Yes, please, be my guest.
So the story is actually called Remember That November. The school speech contest that year just happened to be held on the 5th of November. My friend Andy chose a really great topic, Guy Fawkes. He told us about the gunpowder plot, which took place in England about 400 years ago. Many people were angry with the way they were treated by the government. They thought the laws were unfair. A group of men planned to blow up Parliament. They believed that was the way to get changes made, even though lots of people, including the king, could be killed. Guy Fawkes was a group's gunpowder expert, but just as he was getting ready to set off the explosion, he was discovered. Guy Fawkes was later tried and put to death. The king was so relieved, and the plot had failed, that he ordered a celebration to be held. And he finished his speech by saying, "Let's all have fun with Guy Fawkes tonight." Most of us clapped and cheered loudly. We thought Andy was the last speech and that he'd win the competition. But then Aroha stood up. She walked slowly forward, wearing a white feather in her hair. I'd always thought Aroha was quite shy, but when she began to speak that day, her voice was as strong and clear as the song of a tui. My tupuna, my forefathers, come from Taranaki, from a village called Parihaka. Over 100 years ago, Te Whiti o Rongo Mai and Tohu Kākahi were our leaders. They wore white feathers, raukura, as a sign of peace. Unlike many Māori villages, Parihaka had no fortification or fences around it. People from all over the country, European and Māori, were welcomed as guests. Our village had fertile land, forests, and fishing grounds, and traded food with settlers in the area. But like Guy Fawkes and his friends in England, many Māori didn't think the government laws were fair. In Aotearoa, New Zealand, however, the dispute was about the government selling land which belonged to Māori. Te Whiti said that money was never as valuable as land. Tohu and Te Whiti wanted peace and fair treatment, but they didn't believe killing people was the way to make change happen. Aroha told us how the people of Parihaka challenged the new laws. They pulled out survey pegs, ploughed up farmers' fields, and built fences across land that was taken from Māori. When they were arrested, they went to prison without attacking the soldiers. Despite feeling angry, the people chose to follow their beliefs. This happened over and over again. Finally, one morning in 1881, hundreds of soldiers surrounded Parihaka and marched into the village. They were ready to fire their guns, but instead of finding armed warriors, they were greeted by children who danced and sung and skipped on the roadway. The rest of the villagers sat quietly on the marae and waited. Then came the order, "You have 1 hour to leave." The people of Parihaka did not move. When Te Whiti and Tohu were arrested, they walked with dignity into captivity. "Be you steadfast in all that is peaceful," Te Whiti told their followers. That day was also the 5th of November, Aroha said. A lot of suffering followed in our village, but our people's actions are remembered with pride. It didn't matter anymore who won the speech contest, but what we had learnt about that peaceful protest at Parihaka would change forever the way we remember November. That's it.
That's the story. Yeah.
And the illustrations are absolutely stunning. So mihi to the illustrator, Lindy Fisher, that accompany that. That's what children's stories are about too, the illustrations.
So it's amazing, yeah, how people learn about that story. Like you say, you were in India and Indian people were telling you the history of your land.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They knew it like it was part of their storybook. I went, oh my gosh, I don't even know where, because Parihaka being, as you know, that knob, I think you can actually see it from Kariwai. I haven't myself, or have I? I'm trying to think, from Toto Gorge.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure you can look down the coast, that there are viewing points here from Waikato to actually see on a clear day.
Yeah, it's got to be a clear day. Well, today actually is pretty clear. Today could
I
be the
know,
day.
I know, I'm really tempted now.
Yeah.
Am I allowed in level 3, step 2?
Oh, goodness. You're allowed to do a lot of recreational activity. I'm not sure about, I just can't remember the details. Possibly. Is that helpful?
And you know that story, and Parihaka is a, it would be great to see us adopt that story within our, what do you call it, the calendar,
yeah,
the national calendar.
Yeah.
And so, well, Guy Fawkes is really not my jam.
Yeah, it's Guy Fawkes is definitely one of those sort of things that arrived with the colonial process, that's for sure. And a story like that, like about Parihaka, is that should be part of kind of the New Zealand's cultural mythology, I guess. Is that the right phrase to use? Like a story that we all know?
Yes, we should know, because actually it's already travelled into the Northern Hemisphere. And I mean, if the independence was obtained through that, through that feeling of knowing this story, you know, and all the things that unfolded for Gandhi as he continued to persevere for the independence of India, then absolutely it has a lot of mana and a lot to offer nourishment around for mental well-being and people knowing, wow, you know, the resilience that comes from believing that peaceful activities, no matter what. I mean, we're talking, you know, wasn't very kind times to live in when you're being asked, not asked, you're being literally...
No,
you
not
know,
ask.
The land, you know, it's not like that. It was never. There was never an ask. And they're the children, you know. I mean, people would argue like, oh, well, why would you put your children? Well, they did, and the children were the first point of contact for an invading army. Like that's quite something. Quite a lot of bravery on behalf of the people of Parihaka.
But also think about the confusion in the soldiers' minds when that's what they're confronted with.
Absolutely. Yeah. They'd already seen the pegs being taken out, the survey pegs being taken out of the land below. As we know, Taranaki to this day is some of the most fertile lands of particularly the North Island.
Yeah.
They're extremely fertile. So it was known by Māori. And that's why they preserve them for mainly, you know, gardening and to leave them as they were, covered with forest, which is not so today, of course. We're lacking in forest.
Yeah.
Of ngahere.
Now I'm wondering how the Waitangi Tribunal has treated that area and because I know nothing at all. Whether land has been given back or what resolutions have happened in that area, I just don't know. Now I'm wondering.
Yes, there are a lot of documentaries that talk about the actual processes that have been followed through over long periods of time, and because really the submissions actually have to come from individuals who represent tribes, hapu, and to the Waitangi Tribunal, and then they have hearings. And yes, I do know that Taranaki have done so. And within those stories, they're not all about just the detail of reclaiming land. Some incredible stories that are told by the claimants, which are also significantly important to our history, as a people, for us to learn of our land, Aotearoa. It has an incredible history that we're just beginning to reclaim. We almost look at each other and go, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did you know that? And I'm going, no, no, I didn't learn that. And so we can't rely only on schools. We must remember that we have to start generating, as Jennifer has done and as other writers will write stories. And for children, particularly for me, children's stories always have a special part in informing and storytelling to our people.
Mm. So, folks, we're talking to Ngaronoa Renata, and that was a story about Parihaka, which was, I'd forgotten, happened on the 5th of November as well, and a more relevant political story, a cultural story for Aotearoa than Guy Fawkes. But you also said that now's a good time to tell that story. What was it about that story that I think is relevant now? I very much sense that
not only globally, but particularly I would acknowledge our people in Tāmaki Makaurau who have been punished in this lockdown period. And I think, you know, that I would acknowledge their resilience over this time, that we're at current times and that we all need to hear stories of resilience and how we can go forward without anger, which is, you know, a normal human emotional response, but to actually pull back and you know, just think carefully, how can I respond peacefully? The peace of between our neighbours, the way we speak to each other, the way we engage. I think now more than ever is something we need to be very mindful of for our hauora, for our well-being, not just the nourishment of the herbal medicines, but these stories. These stories are medicine, they're rongoa. Give us great courage and a way of going forward. They are universal desires of those who see what war has done in many lands and want, and this is a story of peaceful resistance. And then the Parihaka people wear the three white feathers as a tohu of that they will remain peaceful no matter what. I think that's a great legacy and a great consciousness to offer us at this time, dare I say it, that we are in. It's a mishmash of COVID, but it's just, you know, separating us out, the them and us, and that's not healthy. That will not create a healthy nation going forward. So that's its offering for us today. It's a rongoā to give us courage and enable us to consider the way we share our time and our words with each other.
And can I ask, the three white feathers, had that always been a symbol of peace, or is that where it originated?
Well, the three white feathers actually come from a very specific manu, the tōroa, the albatross.
Yep.
And the one that travels, that spends most of its life out on the open sea. And the tōroa also to actually wear those particular feathers is a very, you know, has a lot of significance, because the cry of that manu, the sound, it's tangi, the tangi of the tōroa is also a very, very lonely sound. It embraces the connection to ancestors. There is a special instrument that is made from the bones of the wing bone of the tōroa, and it has a very special sound. And so that bird, of course, it obviously is part of the landscape, you know, of migrating birds in Kararaki. Yeah. So they honour that bird and its long journey and its cry, the cry of the albatross, the royal albatross, I think it is specifically, is the most magnificent bird, manu. And that's the particular feathers they wear, because of its journey, its long journey, and its as well. So it has a spiritual wairua connection to the ancestors.
Yeah.
You can't just take some feathers and dye them white. Well, you can. You can. But it wouldn't have the same mana.
I don't know, if you got it from the $2 shop, probably the same again.
Exactly.
Yes.
They actually wear specifically the tōroa, the albatross, from the albatross, and that's where that feels. It feels beautiful to wear, you know, in your hair.
Yeah.
As a tohu.
So, Naranoa, you're like to do language classes, Māori language classes, but can't at the moment, or can you now? Could you do one outside?
There has been an offering from the Old School Art Centre, which is so beautiful, that you could hold them outside, and I would. Let's have a 1 meter distance party and a picnic and speak the reo, absolutely.
Right.
But yes, I do. I do enjoy that aspect of what I have to offer our community.
Yeah.
In terms of our language, our reel.
So you so have you got plans?
Those will recommence as soon as we get what we're on a traffic light system. So a green light. Let's go for a green light.
we haven't got to the traffic lights yet.
Oh, we haven't got to the traffic lights.
No, I know everyone's talking about it, but we're not actually. No one's there yet.
Well, I'll just look for the rainbows, Uanukun, for all the colours.
It's going to be a while.
Oh my god!
Yeah, but it's you could, but under the current rules, you could sit everyone outside a metre apart and have a class right now.
Absolutely, on a day like today.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, magic. Early morning class too, or a more respectable hour like after breakfast, or in the.
Well, if you plan one, let us know, and we'll let people know. And
I will. I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Meeting with together with people. That's part of our thing. Our jam is to be together, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, normally.
yeah. Normally, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Ngaronoa, thank you so much for talking to us this morning and the story of Pāri Haka. And for people who, if that's news to you, check it out online as well. You can learn more. It's true to say that Martin Luther King was inspired by Gandhi, and Gandhi was inspired by Te Whiti, and it all began at Pāri Haka. How long ago?
1881.
So 140 years ago.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. All right, thank you for your time this morning.